Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Stock Talk. Catherine and I are very happy to be joined today by Aaron Conaway, who is serving as the second vice president, who IFSA will become the IFSA president here in a couple of years. He is also notably the president, founder, and chief operating guy, I guess, around Total Seed Production. And, you know, really and truly, what we wanted to do today is learn a little bit more about Total Seed Production and Aaron in general. So, Aaron, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to it.
Now, Aaron, I know that just a few minutes ago you were lamenting the fact that you must have been like the 18th choice that everybody else told us no. And in fact, you weren't. You were our first choice. We wanted people to have a chance to get to know you a little bit. And that's why you're here today. So keep in mind, first choice, nobody turned us down yet.
Okay. Appreciate that.
So, Catherine, you know, I always like to get you involved. So I'm going to say, kick it off. Ask away. We're going to ask Aaron some questions today and try to learn a little bit more about him. You're up.
Awesome. Aaron, you know, obviously we know you from Total Seed Production and your involvement with IFSA, but just so everyone else knows, can you kind of give us a background of yourself, how Total Seed came about, and just give us some information about you?
Sure. I got a little bit of a unique story coming into the seed business. By all means, not a traditional path. So I went to Purdue after high school and wasn't sure what exactly that I was going to do, but I found myself in aeronautical technology. I grew up working on cars my whole life. My dad was a car mechanic for 35 years and thought that following that path was a good idea. So got into aero technology and got my airframe and power plant license to work on everything from a hot air balloon to a jumbo jet. Thought that was my path, but when I was a junior, when September 11th happened, so that that industry kind of took a turn there, and I was engaged to my soon to be wife, who we've been married 21 years now almost, and I was looking for a job, and so my future father-in-law asked me if I'd be interested in coming in and learning the seed business, and I said, don't know anything about ag, don't know anything about seed. I don't have a job. I'm getting married. I said, under one condition, if this doesn't work out, it's not for me. We'll part ways and no hard feelings. So I came into the business from ground up, swept floors, cleaned planters, bagged bags for the first, learned how to run the tower, did just absolutely everything in the business. And at that point, it was Campbell Seed. So Campbell Seed started in 1936. Was a seed producer from the beginning and a seed seller to the farmers from the beginning. So as soon as that company could get seed from the universities in 1936, the Campbell family got 5 acres of seed, started with 5 acres of seed. Everyone got their start in 36 or 37 or 38. And so we got started in 1936. So at that time, it was Campbell Seed. I worked as a production tech in Campbell Seed for 2 years. The production manager was getting ready to retire and Scott asked me, my father-in-law, Scott Campbell, asked me if he wanted to hire outside or if I wanted to learn that. The first 2 years was drinking through a fire hose. It was work 24 hours a day. I went out to dinner with him about 3 or 4 times a night, so he continued to teach. And so I took on that role of production manager and was there a little over a year and some change until the family decided to sell the retail part of Campbell Seed. We were a land-based company that we'll talk about here later, but in a production company through and through. And so as a transition to generation, so I'm fourth generation. My wife's fourth generation and her brother, Ryan Campbell, is fourth generation. So to get through that generational change, it seemed like a perfect time and a perfect fit for us to exit the retail business and really focus at what we're good at, what we're passionate about, and as strictly production. So lo and behold, middle of the end of June, 1st of July, 2006, we sold the retail business and started Total Seed Production. So Scott Campbell was ready to retire or at least slow down and asked me if I continued to want to drink through a fire hose and take over and be the leader of Total Seed Production. And so we did that. I did that in 2006. And from there, we've grown from there. And when we started, we started with 12 employees.
And how many employees do you have now?
We are pushing 100 right now.
Wow.
It's been
That's a lot of growth.
It's been a lot of growth. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of work. It's exciting every day. And we'll talk about some other things that I think we'll be able to link back to the start of me being in the seed business and why I'm passionate about some other things. But yeah, pretty unique start in the seed business, and happy to say that I'm a married in fourth generation.
That's awesome.
So, you know, that's a really important aspect, because we do talk a lot about the importance of the independent seed industry and looking at the generations that have been involved. So this is something new for me. I wasn't aware that the roots of Total Seed Production, why this is important to be able to talk about, and also being, you know, fourth generation, that's a powerful statement right there to be able to be involved. So, you know, just leaping around to a couple of things, what is the real reason that you're very passionate about the seed production? I mean, about seed in general, because, I mean, let's face it, Aaron, you come from a different area. I mean, wow, you know, aviation and, you know, all that other cool stuff. I mean, that is a very different area from your educational standpoint. What has made you very passionate about the seed industry?
Well, that's an interesting question. I don't think anybody's ever asked me that. So, one is the heritage within the family, right? So I've been here 21 years, and, you know, I'm a all in kind of guy or all out kind of guy. So once I realized I was all in, well, I've stayed all in, and just really feel like, you know, I've grown up in it. Now, you know, my grandfather farmed. I'm from the same hometown as my wife. So, you know, I got a community connection, born and raised in Tipton. Grew up in Tipton. I wanted to live in Tipton anyway. So maybe not been in the ag or in the seed industry, but still got a lot of ties to the reason of that I'm passionate about it. And then once I really got really involved in the seed industry to figure and to learn how unique it is, and to learn where the independents still play a huge part of that industry compared to so many other industries where there's hardly any or no independents left. Has just really, you know, really inspired me to continue to keep this thing going. And so that's what Ryan Campbell's my brother-in-law, he's our vice president. And we say it every day, we make decisions, all long-term decisions. And so with that focus of saying, okay, is it the right decision for the fifth generation? Then that's what we're going to do. So we don't look at short-term gains. They're all long-term gains, and we're planning to get it to the fifth generation. And so that motivation and that history, seeing in the seed industry and within the Campbell family, it just keeps me passionate about it.
That's awesome. So what would you say sets Total Seed Production apart from others within the industry?
Yeah, there's three things that really set us apart. The biggest is the vertical integration. So people say it and sometimes try to use it that way, but we're seriously vertically integrated. So from start to finish, especially on our corn business, all of our corn is on our own ground. We own and operate close to 13,000 acres now, and we don't do anything but seed production. So our vertically integrated quality is being vertically integrated, the quality people talk about all the time. But that's what we live by, because it's all on our own ground. We're all totally focused at it. So our quality is very most, the most important thing that we strive for every day. And then the other thing is the way that we handle flexibility and complexity. So we always say complexity is our friend. The seed industry, especially when I started in 2003 till now, has gone nothing but complex. So we continue to handle complexity and be able to be nimble, and that's what allows a lot of our success.
So I was actually talking to Kevin Cavanaugh the other day, and he brought you up and you know, made some comments around you know, technology and some of the things that y'all are doing there at Total Seed Production that kind of set you also apart in the way that you have grasped onto technology. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so technology's tough just because we support and are brand supporters to so many brands across the United States that we try to find out where we can insert technology and try to adapt as fast as we can. But we also have to stay flexible to everybody's request, because we do everything differently according to how they want it. So anything that we can control, we're trying to add technology. We're totally continue to add automation everywhere we can. and new equipment as we continue to build. So that's really huge. We're paperless from planting all the way till harvest. So that's trying to collect as much data as we can, as quickly as we can, and try to share that information with our customers because they're our fields and we're in them every day. And so we want to make sure that we give our customers that experience that they're our fields, they're their fields, and we want them to know what's going on every step of the way. So technology is tough for us only because we have to stay adaptive and we're doing it 30 different ways, but we continue to apply it, and it's really helped us a lot for sure.
What do you think the biggest challenges are facing the industry right now? I mean, we talk a lot about, you sit on the discussions on the IPSA board. I know that y'all have discussions probably with your own customers that you're sitting there. What's the number two challenge that you see in the industry?
Consolidation for sure. Consolidation is a big challenge for us. When I started, or when the seed industry started, I mean, there was hundreds of seed companies, right? And those continued to dwindle. And so, you know, again, for those listeners that don't quite fully understand, seed companies or seed brands are our customers. We don't sell directly to the farmer. We support the different brands across the United States and Mexico and Canada. So that consolidation of the brands and this consolidation, the limited choices of the farmers really impact us and our business. So number one for sure is consolidation.
Yeah, to give a little bit of color to that, you know, when IPSA was actually started in 1989, there were some 300 seed companies that were out there in the corn and soybean business. And, you know, today through consolidation and acquisitions and just people stopping business, you know, we're looking at about 120 or so of what we'd call independent seed companies. And, you know, that's different, of course, than independent seed dealers or seed dealers that are out there that sell somebody else's brand, where independent seed companies sell their own brand, carry the production risk, and, you know, really all the risk associated with that seed brand in general.
You talked about the start of IPSA too. Just on a side note, from a family perspective, Scott Campbell, my father-in-law, was one of the few seedsmen with Tom Burris and others that got together to start the IPSA Association. And so there's a little connection there too, that he was one of the founders along with Tom Burris and others.
One of the original six.
Yep.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Catherine, what do you think?
I mean, great backstory. Random question for you. So you said you went to school for aviation. So what's your favorite thing you've ever flown?
Well, that's an interesting story. So when I went to aviation, I decided that I wanted to work on them and not fly them. So I can work on them. But while I was there, I started to get my pilot's license, because if I was going to work on them, I might as well fly them. Well, I started that and realized how expensive that was. And so I had lots of choices to what to spend my money on, haircuts and golf. And I stopped my pilot's license because it was expensive. And I said, I'll just keep my feet on the ground and work on them.
Oh, well, there you go. So golf's been in your blood for a long time. And your son plays golf, correct?
Yeah, he does. My oldest son, I got three boys, one in middle school, one in high school, and one at the University of Indianapolis as a freshman playing golf.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, you've been on some board calls on the golf course.
Yep.
That's commitment right there. So being in a leadership position like you are, what would you say your philosophy as a leader is?
Got to focus on the details. We're very detail-oriented company, and that's driven from the top. And so everything we do has to have high quality and very detailed. And so the other thing is that one big philosophy that we've grown over the years, and this is important to me, is we were focused on building teams. We got to have teams. You know, something I didn't mention is our structure. When I talk about vertically integrated, we have four pillars that we talk about in our business, and all four pillars are large enough to be standalone businesses, but they all operate under the one umbrella of total seed production. So it's seed corn production, soybean production, warehouse and distribution and farming, and all four of those all share in those employees that I talked about. Well, we got to have strong teams. And when we started in 2006, we only had 12 employees and didn't have a management team, didn't have supervisors, didn't have tiles, didn't have anything. We all did everything. And so as we've grown in the last 15 years, it's been a huge focus at building teams along the way.
That's awesome. And what, you know, obviously you've kind of taken this from the ground up. What would you say was your most significant learning experience in this leadership role?
Oh, in the leadership role?
Yeah.
I would say definitely delegation, right? So we tripled in the size of our business in about 5 years. And so wow. Much growth really fast coming at. And I'm a hands-on type of individual. And so I had to learn real fast that I wasn't going to be able to put my hands on every little thing. So I had to focus at building teams and building position and making sure that I was putting the right people in the right place and really share responsibility, which was a fast learning curve for me.
I bet. And I bet that's tough, you know, because I do know that you're detail oriented and I appreciate that. So to kind of let go of something that you've put your heart and soul into, that's got to be not the easiest thing in the world.
No, but it really helps. You know, I got a great business partner as my brother-in-law. We do a lot of things outside of work as well. And the things that I lack or my weaknesses are his strengths and my strengths are his weaknesses. So have a two-pronged approach to have that kind of leadership is really what made us successful. I couldn't do it all by myself because he picks up so many pieces on the day-to-day that are my weaknesses. And so together, the both of us, is what really makes us as strong as we are.
That's awesome.
So one of the things that I'm really interested in, you know, you've talked about consolidation being kind of the biggest concern that you see out there in the industry. And of course, you're going to be coming in with regards to the president of IPSA here, let's see, am I saying that right? January of 26, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yep. Is that right? Yep. 20. Yep. That's right. I have to think through it. What are you thinking some really key components that IPSA can do going forward in the face of consolidation, and what are your thoughts about, you know, kind of more of the strategic direction and where you'd like to encourage seed companies to be active?
Yeah. So, you know, two things have been huge, getting more engagement to the, and with our organization and association. So all the brands, instead of, feeling like, and I was that out a little bit of that outsider. I knew what IPSA was doing. I thought I knew what IPSA was doing. That's what I should say. I thought I knew what they were doing. I was proud to be a member, right? But wasn't really heavily engaged until I got the invite to join the board. And boy, how much my eyes have opened and changed about how much IPSA is doing. So I've been really passionate. I want to continue to make sure that we communicate that out to the association to really get more and more brands and members on board to understand exactly what we're doing and get them more active and find ways to get them more active. Because of consolidation, we've got to have more members being active to continue to be strong, because, you know, it's the direction and future of independence, even though sometimes it looks challenging, the alternative that we compete against gives us all kinds of opportunities, right? And so I'm excited about the future for independence, and I want the rest of the independents to be excited about it as well and be a real strong sector of the industry.
Yeah, that's good. I think my follow-up question to that, actually, Aaron, would be, so, you know, as people become more active, what would you say are the areas that IPSA should focus on more from a standpoint of your point of view? Where are some areas that you would challenge us to look at and say, hey, look, this is the area you need to push into next. This is where we see that, or where I see that we could be of most benefit to the seed companies.
Yeah, that's tough because there's a lot of things that we are doing as a board, right? And you guys as leadership, that, you know, not knowing when the right time to tell people are, you know, don't want to have meetings to have meetings and don't want to have committees to have committees. But the more that we can get people at the table and hear their ideas and collect in-person thoughts, and just the comfortability of the relationship, with you two as our leaders, as well as with the members, I think it is huge. Anyway, we can continue to connect and allow them the opportunity to be able to pick up the phone and ask questions and get engaged and just share their thoughts and comments. That's the real trick, is if there are so many thoughts and comments that our membership has, that we just got to continue to pull out of them and somehow get those thoughts and comments to help guide the organization, because sometimes they're not willing to share unless asked. And sometimes, again, as an outsider, before I was a member, I had all kinds of thoughts, but I just wasn't sure what the right platform was or when to insert my comments. And so trying to get those that information out of our membership is going to be key.
Got it. Let me ask you this. I know one of the things coming back in with consolidation, as you indicated, you know, consolidation, we all think about, of course, you're growing, but what are you going to tell somebody as the industry consolidates that's young and coming out of college and says, you know what, I want to find an opportunity in the seed industry? What do you tell a young person like that?
Yeah. So my first suggestion is to find people that have experience. And so experience is key. And that's what we lack, that we can talk about later, is, but experience, find the individuals that have been in the industry for a while, pick their brain, because every year is a different year. And so being able to get that experience and gain that experience and be able to elevate yourself and really understand what the changes are is super important, because the industry in general, no matter how small or big it is, it's really small. And so being able to network and make those connections, there is so much more opportunity as a young individual to come in the seed industry and just in ag in general is mind-blowing to me. And to veer off for a second, is that's what's passionate, and that's what we do, is what we're focused on at Total Seed Production, is merely ag education. Because one of our biggest struggles day in and day out is getting young individuals involved and excited about ag. And so bringing in employees on all the sectors that we do in production and all the sectors in ag, and that we've really in the last 10 years said, all right, we got to do better outreach. We did the Total Seed Production greenhouse at our local community school, which is a 3,000 square foot greenhouse, and getting people K through college excited about it. We give endless amount of tours through our facility, and we spend a lot of time talking about ag education, and obviously with a real focus at the seed industry, but we've got to get more people excited and involved, because the opportunities that are out there is endless. And I would have never even thought about ag, and two, would have definitely never thought about the seed industry. And knowing what I know now, it's pretty exciting about the opportunities out there. Even with consolidation, there should be a lot of people itching and looking to come into the seed industry.
So how do you generate that excitement? I mean, okay, yeah, full disclosure, you know, I've had an opportunity to talk to a lot of different ag classes with it at the high school level and at the university level. I do some stuff at the University of Arkansas fairly often. And anybody that's heard me talk knows that I use the term nexus of scientific and technology disciplines. That's what agriculture is. And man, I'm telling you, if I've used it once, I've used it 100 times. So if you've heard me more than once, you've heard that more than once. The question is how do we really generate that level of excitement? I know that for us, one of the things that Catherine and I have tried to do, we try to take advantage of things like Tomatosphere and, you know, really go into elementary schools and teach them about seed and science and, you know, where their food comes from, which is really important. But what are you thinking some things? Well, two things. One, what do y'all do locally to generate that excitement? And what are some other things that you think we can do to generate some education and excitement?
Yeah, anything hands-on. Sometimes some ideas are quirky, and we try them out, and I think they're going to be quirky, and they're big hits. And it all comes down to being hands-on and doing everything we can, whether it be in the greenhouse, on site, where some things we take for granted, just for the sheer fact of even elementaries. I mean, one of the last stops of our tours after we go through all the facility, which I think is a lot more exciting to look at and talk about. But at the very end, when we talk about ag education and ag careers and seed industry careers, we do it around a box of shelled corn. And those kids, no matter how old they are constantly just digging and playing in that corn. And that's probably the most excited they are. And that's actually most of the time that they hear what I actually have to say, because they have their hands on, they get to touch something. So being able to do anything they possibly can to actually be interactive instead of just listening to someone talk, man, you can see every age of the kids light up. So we try to do some sort of hands-on every time we have the opportunity.
Yeah, that's really important, no doubt about that. The I've seen that over and over. That's one of the benefits of, you know, the Tomato Sphere Project. Kids get to be really hands-on. And it was interesting, this past week I was in D.C. at Modern Ag on the National Mall, so we had a lot of things to talk about there. Asta was there as well. And, you know, never fails, in addition to getting to talk to members of Congress while you're there, you also see just a plethora of kids come through, and you get a chance to talk to them about something real important, where food comes from. And it's not Walmart, and it's not Trader Joe's or Whole Foods or, you know, HEB. It's talk about where it comes on the farm. And in a lot of our rural communities, I know people know that and discount how important it is for people that live in urban environments to understand that. And it is shocking to how that has gotten lost.
And we were, at one time, we were the seed production capital county in the United States. There's lots of, almost every acre that's around us is some sort of seed production. And you would still think that there'd be so many people, even adults. We do outreach in adults for education as well. And you would think that there'd be more people even in our county that really truly understand it, and they don't. So we've stopped. We kind of were focused at the kids. Now we've opened it up as wide as we possibly can to educate anyone and everyone about ag.
I think that's great. And, you know, and my background, I did not grow up in agriculture at all. I'm from West Texas, where everyone's in the oil industry. But coming in and working in ag, it is very much eye-opening, and it does bring in excitement. So I think, I mean, I relate to that, Aaron, because you never thought you were going to be in ag, but you've been around it. I had never even really been around it. So it is exciting, and it is neat to understand, you know, where food comes from and all that, and everything that goes on within the agriculture industry that, you know, just growing up outside of it, I had no idea. And so I love it. And I think ag education is so important because, again, these people don't know half of what goes on in ag. They see cornfields, they see cotton fields, but what actually happens? What are all the, you know, the pieces that are moving within the industry that allows for, you know, us to have all of this food or to have feed or to have these clothes, you know, all of that. So I think that's really awesome that y'all are doing that. I, you know, commend y'all for that for sure.
Well, a real quick story is what really basically slapped me in the face about needing to be hands-on was my oldest son didn't have any real interest in ag, didn't have really any interest in the seed business or really what we did. He was just was going to go his own path for the longest time. We started this community school started an FFA chapter in middle school. They got away from it for a while and they brought it back. Well, it was an elective, so you had to give up your study hall or your study tables to do it. And so I would say I forced him in eighth grade to try it. And so he did it. And we went from one ag teacher to three ag teachers. And that's what helped launch the greenhouse as well. But just that individual, if you don't know my son, but you would think he'd be the last one that would be interested in getting dirty and what was ag. But that program, in a very short period of time, has really driven interest in ag and in the seed industry. And to be honest with you, as a dad, I don't know if I would ever have convinced him that may be a path for him, but just that ag class was what launched his interest.
Well, no question, FFA, National FFA, and ag classes have had an influence on a whole lot of us. I've gotten a chuckle as to how many people that I know and have reach outs from social media that pop up on my feeds every once in a while, including one guy that I hadn't seen in literally 40 years who popped up on my feed recently. So, and it's all FFA related. So it certainly drove a bunch of us to a passion for agriculture, and I'm glad that it's still doing that today. Well, you know what, Catherine, what else do you have?
You know, I don't necessarily have any other questions. I think, Aaron, this was great to talk to you about all of this and to learn so much more. And this is kind of what I imagined our podcast being, right? Not only is it going to be information, but, you know, Stock Talk, the start of the conversation. So having this conversation with you, Aaron, I think really opened our eyes a lot into total seed production and your background too. So, I mean, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to talk to us. And, you know, I look forward to see what you do as the IPSA president.
Appreciate the opportunity. I'm glad to have the ask and spend the afternoon with you.
I'll tell you what, I'm also interested in, you know, where you're going to take us as your presidency comes up. We got a lot of planning that we'll be doing next year, of course, with you as you serve as first vice president and drive a lot of our agenda. So it'll be very exciting to see. And also really do want to thank you, Aaron. I mean, it's cool that we can take a few minutes and learn about the starting places, not only for Total, but again, learning something cool like fourth generation and going back to Campbell Seed. I mean, I think that's a really important aspect, and I'm always excited to hear stories about our multi-generational companies.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun, a lot of work. And like I said, it's something that we're focused on and making decisions every day to get it to the fifth generation. That is our big, and that's the reach goal, right? That's all the little decisions that we make every day. Got the mindset of the next generation.
Exactly right. Well, I guess that's it for this edition of Stock Talk. Aaron Conaway, president of Total Seed Production, for Catherine Franz and myself, Todd Martin. We'll see you again.
See you, everyone.